This episode is sponsored by Rowdy Bars. Go to rowdybars.com and get some while you're listening to this awesome episode.
You are listening to the best show in the universe, The Anthony Rogers Show.
Welcome back to the greatest show in the universe. Today we have an author. We're going to talk about some of his work. His name is Micah T. Dank. How are you doing?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Really good. You have like a rapper's name. Did you notice that?
I did, especially because it's Dank, right?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's like a rapper name almost. Like it's a powerful name, like it sounds like, man.
It is.
It is. So today we're going to talk about the Bible and astrology. This is a subject that you cover in your book, basically, your book series, basically.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Very heavily, in fact.
Cool. Link in the description for his book series. But also, what are we starting with on the Bible and astrology more so? Like, this is a new subject to me, so I'll be learning with the viewers probably on this one.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. So we could start with basically, let's start with, what do you think the oldest writings in the world are?
Arguably like Arabic, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. It depends on who you ask, really. There's so many different, like.
Right. Well, basically, you can go back to the Sumerian texts. You can go back to... Yeah. You know, to that, but you can go back even further. If you take the clock back 40,000 years, 40,000 years, there's something called the Lascaux Caves, and they're in France. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but basically they're these caves that people have found, that a bunch of scientists have found. And basically what happens is when you walk into these caves, you go deep into it, and you'll find deep into it on the wall, there's etchings of like crabs, of crabs, of horses, of lions, of bulls, of rams, sheep. And what they did was they carbon dated it, and they found that it goes back 40,000 years, the wall. And what they did was they brought in an astronomer, and they rewound the clock back with a computer program, because we could do that now with a computer program. And what they did was they rewound the clock back, and they found, when they printed out the star map, that I'm sure you're familiar with the zodiac a little bit, that the horses was Sagittarius, the horse, the man on the horse.
Yeah.
The fish with Pisces, the goat and Capricorn, Aries the ram, the bull Taurus, were all where they were located. So when they superimposed the map, the star clusters were where they were. So they knew about the zodiac 40,000 years ago. Fast forward to modern day times, where you can ask questions like how Jesus was able to heal the blind, how he walked on water, how he turned water into wine, why he had 12 disciples, why he was betrayed with a kiss by Judas, why he was dead for 3 days, why his birthday is on December 25th. This is all astrology. And I'm going to go into it, and I'm going to show it to you. Basically, the idea is that Jesus is the Son of God, but not the S-O-N, the S-U-N. He's literally the Son, like in your background.
Right.
Okay. He's literally the Sun. And that's what astro theology is all based upon. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into the 12 signs, because I know you might know the zodiac, but maybe some of your listeners don't. So I'm just going to go into some basic information that you need to know so that we can start decoding passages in the Bible. So the first sign is Aquarius, which is the man with the water pitcher. Okay. This Pisces is the second sign. And the first sign is actually Aries, but I like to start with Aquarius. I just want to get that out there. So Pisces is the sign of the two fish. Aries is the ram. And in Aries, you have March 21st, which is the spring equinox. It's a 12-hour day and a 12-hour night. It's also the Passover. That's when the Jews celebrate the Passover. And it's also the passing over of the sun from the over the equator and on its way to the summer solstice, the longest day of the year. In Christianity, the passing over is changed, and it becomes the resurrection of God's Son. So it's two separate holidays, but the same meaning, basically. And it's why the Jews smear the lamb's blood or the ram's blood on the door in the Bible to protect them from God when he attacked all those firstborn children in Egypt. It's also why the Jews blow the ram's horn at the sky. It's because they're the people of Aries, the time of Aries. Now, Taurus is the next sign, which is the bull. And when you look at the sky, you have to understand this, is that at the time where they came out with this stuff, they had no clocks, they had no calendars, they had nothing to tell time. The only thing that they could do is look at the stars, look at the sun or use a sundial, and that was it. They had to know when winter was coming. They had to know when to plant. They had to know when to harvest. So Taurus is the bull. So basically, as above, so below. When you see the bull in the sky, when you see Taurus in the sky, you have to put the plow on the bull, okay? You have to put the plow on the bull so that you could plant, and you basically harvest in Virgo and Libra, which I'll get back to. The next sign is Gemini, which is the twins. Then the next sign is Cancer, which is the crab, and it's the sideways moving creature. So what the sun basically does is on December 25th, it rises a degree on its axis. And then it rises an additional degree every single day that goes by. When it hits June 21st, it's the summer solstice. It's the longest day of the year. Then after that, for 3 days, it basically walks sideways like the crab because it stays at that height. Then on June 25th, it drops a degree. And then it continues to drop a degree until it hits December 21st. Right, which is the winter solstice, which is the longest day of the, which is the longest night of the year. And then it stops for 3 days again. That's where God's sun was dead for 3 days comes from, is that the sun stops for 3 days, and then boom, on December 25th, the birth of Christ, it starts all over again. So it's just a giant metaphor. So Leo is the lion, it's basically the king of the jungle. The ruling planet of Leo is actually the sun. So when you're talking about Jesus being in his kingdom or God's kingdom, that they're talking about Leo. Now, Virgo is the virgin. It's the sign of a virgin, and she's holding a wheat stalk. Okay? This is important because remember when you said we plant, we plant in Taurus, right? Well, in Virgo, you basically cultivate the wheat. That's when the virgins cultivate the wheat and they make the bread. That's when it's fully developed, it's fully grown, and then they do that. Libra is the scale of justice. I can't really show you, but basically it's like this. It's because in Libra, there's an equidistant day. You have the fall equinox, which is a 12-hour day, 12-hour night, just like they had it in Aries. It's basically Libra, it's the scales, because it judges God's sun. See, what happens is the sun goes over the fall equinox, and then it starts its descent into winter, into death. Okay, so these are all metaphors. And the Jews always celebrate the new year around the fall equinox. Libra is also known as the wine season. If you've ever been to a vineyard in September, October, you'll know it's lush and full. When you go in the spring, it's bare and empty. So Libra is wine season, and is when you plant the grapes in Taurus that you can then harvest the grapes and turn it into wine. So in Virgo, you have the bread, and in Libra, you have the wine. That's the bread and the wine. Those are the symbols of Christianity. So Scorpio is the scorpion, and he's known as the betrayer. So when a scorpion bites you, it leaves an imprint in your skin that looks like two lips. That's where the mafia gets the kiss of death from. Okay, that's where that comes from.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I knew that.
And it's why Jesus was betrayed by Judas with a kiss, because in astrotheology, Jesus is the sun, and Judas is Scorpio because he's the betrayer. That's why he betrayed him with a kiss. So the sun is judged in Libra, and then it's betrayed in Scorpio. And then Sagittarius is the horseman with the bow and the arrow that finally inflicts further punishment and kills the sun. December 21st is in Sagittarius. So the sun dies in Sagittarius. So whenever they talk about death, that's where you find it, is you find it in Sagittarius because it's winter. And then Capricorn is the goat. Because if you picture the zodiac wheel like this, Capricorn's at the bottom. And if you picture the sun going up a degree every single day along the zodiac wheel, it starts in Capricorn. And he's the goat because the goats climb the mountain. So they start the climb. Okay? So those are the 12 signs. Do you have, did you know any of that? Do you have any questions before I continue?
Yeah, I know the signs, but I didn't know exactly the information you're saying, or I haven't heard it before. Rather, are you implying that basically Jesus Christ was not a living man? Is that what your argument is? That he was not a living man? And, or are you acting like this is like more or less just like when you're with the story as well? Like, more would be my first question, probably.
Well, okay, so basically what I'm trying to say is that it's a metaphor. Jesus is a metaphor for the sun.
So you don't think he was ever a living man? You don't think Jesus Christ was a living man on earth ever?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, I disagree with that. But, I mean, I'm interested in the story, though. But I mean, he was one of the most well-documented men in history, pretty much. He's like one of the most well-documented person of all time, probably, I'd say.
Well, I mean, this isn't my theory.
I was just saying my opinion. And, like, I think the story's still interesting, but I'm saying, like, I see that there's similar things and you could, like, word things differently. But I just don't, you know what I mean? Not much for him before 30, but I mean, after 30, one of the most well-documented people throughout all time, probably. You know what I mean? I'd say. Like, Pontius Pilate is real. I mean, are you saying, what part of the story is fake to you? Like, the Pontius Pilate, like, was he a real person? Or
it's a metaphor. Like, I write.
What do you think is a work of fiction? Or right. So you think that story of Jesus is a work of fiction, basically?
I do. I think that's that it's a retelling of stories, like the story of Horus, the story of Isis. You can go back even further. The story of Mithra. The story of
Zeitgeist
Dagon.
Like the Zeitgeist argument, basically, like that movie.
It's deeper than that, though. What I'm trying to do is story. Go.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if I believe that, but I definitely. It's interesting. You know, I don't know if I.
All right. Well, let me see if I can bring some stuff up that you might not have thought about before.
I'm interested in everybody's perspective. I definitely want to give you a voice, and like I think that you're a good. I think you're a writer, and you have interesting things going. So I definitely would like to hear the story. Yeah, no, for sure. I could hear things I disagree with all the time, and I don't care. I was just saying my opinion.
No problem. Yeah. So basically, have you ever heard of the phrase "pride comes before the fall"?
I've not actually.
So pride comes before the fall is I think it's Proverbs 16:18, and it's basically a proverb. People usually take it to mean, or Christians take it to mean, that basically your ego weighs upon your sin. That if you, right, pride comes before the fall. So if you get a big head, you're just setting yourself up for failure.
I definitely agree with that. I mean, I definitely think that's, I think ego is definitely limiting to humans. Like for sure.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's like the way to take it literally. But astrotheologically, do you know what a group of lions is called?
I forget right off. I'm stupid. But I know you're, yeah, like a pack or something.
It's a pride.
A pride of lions. Yeah, duh. That's right. Yeah.
Right. So basically, pride is lions. Lion is Leo. Mm-hmm. Sign Leo. And Leo is in July, August. So lions, Leo. The pride, Leo, comes before the fall.
Yeah. No, I get that there's a lot. I think astrology didn't exist as well. I'm not dismissing astrology at all. I'm just saying, like, I think there's a lot of signs for I think a lot of things are pretty. I mean, Caesar died because he didn't listen to astrology. Like, I mean, Julius Caesar basically didn't. I mean, he didn't listen to the Ides of March, like a warning. But I definitely think, I think both can coexist, in my opinion. I think that, like, astrology is very interesting. You can predict the future, and you can predict patterns of human beings from it, too. That's my extent of it. But you fucking know way. Like, you're way more into it, so you probably know shit ton more about it. But I'm saying, like, that's the way I view astrology. Basically, it's interesting, and I think that, like, there's ways to predict personalities 100% by when you're born, for sure, you know?
Yeah, no, that's what it does, basically. But that's not really the kind I do. I just use it to decode Bible passages.
That's interesting.
Like, have you ever heard of I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's a conversation. You're good. Like, no worries. Okay. I wouldn't say. Yeah, go.
So, in the book of Micah, which is my namesake, he predicts that the Savior will come from a town in Israel called Bethlehem. Does that sound familiar to you?
No, I never heard of that. I'm just joking. Yeah, the Jesus story. Yeah, no, for sure.
Okay. So he's supposed to come from Bethlehem. Well, Bethlehem is a combination of two words in Hebrew. It's bet, which means house, and lechem, which means bread. So the house of bread. Well, I just told you that Virgo was the virgin with the wheat stalk.
Right.
So the Savior is coming from Virgo. The Savior is coming from a virgin. You see how, like, there's a hidden meaning, and then there's a way you read it literally, and then there's an underlying meaning?
No, yeah, I could see, I could interpret that for sure. Yeah, like, it makes sense.
That's my contention, is that everything can be underlying interpreted with astrology.
I'm seeing the link for sure. I think you said a lot of things that were very on point. That's what I mean. I think I think it's interesting. Like, that's like, yeah, no, it's, that's cool to do, and I think people look into that more. I mean, the Farmer's Almanac has done that forever. You know, like, it's definitely predicted, like, certain things too. Like Ben Franklin's Farmer's Almanac. Like, I mean, I definitely agree with it. I think, like, a lot of it's very accurate.
Mm-hmm. And you could even go into the names for Jesus, for example. Okay.
It's basically Joshua, right? It's like basically Joshua or something.
What do you mean?
Like, it's like Jesus is like the, isn't it like the Hebrew version of Joshua, basically, like a translation? or something?
No. Yeshua.
Yeshua, duh. That's what, yeah.
Yeshua. But basically, you can look at the names for him, okay? How about Capricorn, the goat? He's the scapegoat of Israel.
Yeah.
How about the man sign in Aquarius? He's the son of man. How about Pisces, the two fish? He's the fisherman of men. It's also why he feeds the masses with two fish. He feeds the masses with two fish and five loaves of bread. Two fish is Pisces. And the loaves of bread, I'm going to get into this right now, but in astrology, you have something called your opposing sign. Okay? So what's your sign?
Oh, Cancer.
You're Cancer, so your opposing sign is Capricorn. Okay? It's directly across from it. So your cross sign. Okay? So two fish is Pisces, and its cross sign is Virgo with the wheat stalk. So Jesus says, I'll feed you with two fish and five loaves of bread. Okay? He's the ram in Aries. He's known as the Lamb of God. Okay? In Leo, he's known as the Lion of Judah. The lady holding the wheat stalk, he's born of a virgin. Virgo, he's born of a virgin, and he's called the bread of life. In Libra, he's the scale of justice, and he's known as the just one. And then he's worshipped on the sun day. That's why the Christians worship on the sun day. If you look at pictures of Jesus, right, any depiction of Jesus, you'll see the following information. You'll see his fingers being, he'll hold two fingers up like this. Okay, you could just literally Google images of Jesus. He has two fingers up like this. This is an ancient Kemetic peace sign, an ancient Egyptian peace sign that he's holding up. Okay, you'll see that. You'll see the heart with the crown of thorns around it outside of his chest. Okay, the crown of thorns represents the sun rays, like in the back of your picture. The heart represents the toroidal field that goes 6 feet outside of your body. And the sun is always, always right behind his head, because they're telling you he's the sun. You know, this is solar worship.
Right.
Every deity coming up, every savior coming up prior to Jesus in different religions, earlier religions, different, you know, you can go to Mithra, you can go to Dagon, you can go to the ancient Egyptians, Ra, Horus, Set, Isis, it's all the sun, you know, and that's what Jesus is. So I'm going to give you
worship. I mean, it's the most powerful thing on earth. I can see why people would worship the sun. I mean, it's very powerful. And early worship makes sense. I mean, it totally makes sense.
Right, absolutely. So if we go into like certain passages, like Deuteronomy 32, I could read it to you. You could tell me how many, just off of the 12 zodiac signs that I just read, just tell me how many signs that you recognize, okay?
Okay.
So he says, he gave them honey from the cliffs and olive oil from the rocky ground. He gave his people butter from the herd and milk from the flock. He gave them lambs and goats. They had the best rams from Bashan and the finest wheat. They drank the best wine made from the juice of red grapes. But Jeshurun became fat and kicked like a bull. Did you count all the times that they mentioned different
I'm not as good at it as you are with astrology. I picked up maybe the bolt. Basically, I'm so bad with like the story of astrology that I know that I know the basis of the sign. I know the signs, but I don't know like much. You know, I mean, you're way more
right. I am. So I'll do it. I'll do it for you.
No, for sure. Yeah.
He gave them honey from the cliffs. Okay. In your birth sign, Cancer, there's a group of stars called an asterism. It's a tight-knit group of stars. And there's an asterism called the beehive cluster. So that's where the honey comes from. Okay? And the olive oil, that's in Libra too. That's in Libra. He gave his people butter from the herd and milk from the flock. Well, that's just milk from the Milky Way galaxy. Okay? You have the beehive cluster in Cancer. And you have the center of the Milky Way galaxy in Sagittarius, okay? So the land from Cancer to Sagittarius is the land of milk and honey. Make sense?
Yeah, I get what you're saying, yeah.
Okay. He gave them lambs and goats. That's Aries and Capricorn. They had the best rams from Bashan, that's Aries, and the finest wheat, that's Virgo, with the wheat stalk. They drank the best wine made from the juice of red grapes, that's Libra, wine season. But Jeshurun became fat and kicked like a bull, that's Taurus. So you see how they kind of, you can read it one way, and then it's just like encoded in it.
I see how it could be. I see how your observation is. Yeah, if you know a lot about, like, I see what you see in it, basically, is what I'm saying. But on the surface level, I don't, like, I feel like you have way more knowledge on it. But I feel, I see what you're describing, though. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
That's interesting. That's interesting perspective. Like, too, like, I was wondering, like, how long has the Milky Way been called the Milky Way, too? Like, do you know that? I have no idea. That'd be interesting to find out.
I don't know how long it's been called the Milky Way, but it's been similar things in
for
the
a long,
it's been translated.
Yeah, for a long fucking time. Yeah, no, that's interesting kind of think about. Like, I think you bring up a lot of, I mean, it's like, I feel like you picking up similarities is interesting. Like, your brain just seems like it scans things, like, for like the, like, when you have knowledge, you basically, you'll scan things and pick up on similarities. And that's very interesting so far. I'm definitely interested. Like, this is kind of a last minute subject, but I like this so far. It's good now.
All right, cool, man. So let me read you. I gave you the Old Testament passage. Let me give you a New Testament passage, okay? Mm-hmm. We'll do the book of Revelation real quick. I got two passages for you.
It's the most interesting book, but darkest.
Absolutely.
I think it's
but it's also astro theology, and I'm going to show you.
Interesting.
In Revelations 4:7, the first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you have lion, which is Leo, ox, which is Taurus. The third had a face like a man. That's the man sign, which is Aquarius. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Now, it's important to know that the sign Scorpio, it's the scorpion. It's the belly crawling creature. It slithers on the ground. It's the lowest form of life on Earth. But it's evolved form in metaphysical astrology is an eagle. Okay? It's why, you know, the fighter, Khabib whatever his name is.
I know you're talking about, yeah.
He's known as the Flying Eagle. He's a Scorpio.
Hmm.
You know, that's why he's known as the Flying Eagle. So the Flying Eagle, the Flying Eagle can also evolve past that into the Phoenix, which is the same story of Jesus. It's born, it's fire, just like the sun. It dies, and then it's reborn from its ashes, which is the same story of Jesus. So basically, if you take the flying eagle as Scorpio, those four signs, so you have the zodiac wheel, you have the equinox and the solstice that form the cross through the zodiac wheel. That's the cross of God's son that he lives and dies on, okay? These four signs make an X through that cross. And they also happen to be the four fixed signs of the zodiac. So in the zodiac, you have things like fixed signs, you have cardinal signs, you have, I think, immutable signs. It's a higher level of astrology, basically. But if I go into Revelation 12, I'm going to paraphrase this one a little bit because I don't really deal with numbers. I'm not into numerology. Okay?
Yeah, me neither. I understand the use for it, but I'm not a number person either. That's interesting.
Right. Okay, so Revelation 12, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun with the moon under her feet. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. This is an astrology metaphor, okay?
On its face,
you're talking about a woman clothed with the sun. And a dragon comes and knocks a third of the stars out of the sky. It's a metaphor. Watch this.
What do you think it means?
I'm telling you right now.
Oh, okay.
A great sign appears in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. So the woman is Virgo, and she's clothed with the sun. It's a metaphor. So the sun is in Virgo, okay?
Mm.
The sun spends 2 hours each. There's 12 signs. There's 24 hours in a day. Each day, the sun spends 2 hours in a sign. Make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so the sun is in Virgo at this point. Now, if the sun is in Virgo, then directly under her feet would be the moon. Make sense?
Right. Yeah, I get it.
The sun, the moon would be right under it. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous dragon. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky. Have you ever heard of the constellation Draco?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the dragon.
Yeah.
Draco is the dragon. Its tail goes from Aries to Sagittarius. That's four signs. That's a third of the stars.
Interesting. So you think John was just describing like that? I can't describe it. Like how the universe will be at that time of the revelations? Do you think that is, or do you think like what do you think he's saying? What do you think it's saying basically?
These are metaphors. I'm an author, right? If I wanted to embed something in a story, if I wanted some underlining story,
yeah,
then something's got to give. I can either write a well thought out sentence. I mean, a well thought out paragraph, right?
Right.
But if I wanted to encode it in a specific special way, it's going to sound off a little bit.
Yeah, and John wrote in Exile, too. He wrote in, like, Exile, too. So he had to be more coded, probably. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of codes in what people say, for sure. Right. Especially writing in Exile. He wrote this in a cave. I mean.
Yeah. So, basically, to me, this is a way to just hide astrology. This is hiding. This is hidden knowledge. This is basically hidden knowledge of the celestial bodies and stuff that they kept people away from.
Yeah, I can see. Like the Catholic Church would have at the time, probably, or whatever.
Right.
That's interesting.
So I'm going to go through a pretty long passage right now, and I'm going to decode it for you, too, okay?
Cool. Yeah, no, down.
Just give me a hot sec. What do you think so far?
No, it's interesting. I like seeing your perspective into the Bible. Like, I was seeing other layers into the surface of it. I'm just interested. I'm a learner. I love learning, so it's, like, interesting to me.
Okay, cool, man. So I'm going to read. Have you ever heard of the book of Job?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell your listeners, can you basically sum up what the story of Job was about?
For sure. Job was like a rich servant of God, basically. And Satan said he only loved God because he's rich and had an awesome life. So God gave him a terrible life, and Job stayed loyal and prayed to him all the time and thanked him no matter what happened, basically. And he was one of God's most loyal servants, probably.
Right, exactly. It's also the oldest story in the Bible, one. Two.
Wouldn't Adam, I think creation's the oldest story, isn't it?
Job.
Oh, you mean when written?
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, we had to be created for it. No, okay, I get what you're saying. So that was written before creation. Okay, got you.
Right. And we can get into some cool stuff about history, too. But basically, and so what I'm going to read to you is, you remember when he's crying out to God and then God finally answers him?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to read you God's answer.
Cool.
And I'm going to show you how the whole thing is astrology. And it's quite long, but I'm going to show you how line for line it's astrology.
Totally interested. Yeah, it's terrible.
Okay. So first he said, first, this is God's response, everybody listening. He says, can you lead forth the Maseroth? Now, right off the bat, the Maseroth meets the Zodiac. It always has, it always will. Over time, Maseroth changes and it becomes Mazalot. Okay, then even further down the road, it evolves again and it becomes Mazel Tov, which means good fortune from the stars. Okay, so the Lord's challenge to Job, the first two are blatantly obvious. He says, can you bind the chains of the Pleiades? Can you loosen Orion's belt? Those are pretty obvious, right?
Yeah, okay. It's point blank for you right there.
Then he goes, can you bring forth the constellations in their season? Or lead out the bear with its cubs. The constellations are the zodiac above, and the bear and its cubs are Ursa Major, the Great Bear, and Ursa Minor, part of the Big Dipper. You've heard of those, right?
Well, yeah, and plus people knew way more about astrology back then, so it would almost make sense that this would be like similar to what you're saying. Like,
absolutely. Then the next sentence is, who can tip over the water jars of heaven? It's clearly Aquarius, the man with the water pitcher. The next sentence is, do you hunt the prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger of the lions? That's Leo the lion. Who provides food for the raven? That's the constellation Corvus, which means raven and borders Virgo. Do you watch where the doe bears her fawn? That's Mriga, M-R-I-G-A, which means deer, and is located in Orion. Who let the wild donkey go free? That's Acellus Borealis, meaning donkey, and is located in Cancer, your sign. Will the wild ox consent to serve you? That's clearly Taurus. The wings of the ostrich flap joyfully. That's Lambda Aquilae or Al Thalimine, which means two ostriches in Arabic. Do you give the horse its strength? It laughs at fear, afraid of nothing. It does not shy away from the sword. The quiver rattles against its side along with the flashing spear and lance. That's clearly Sagittarius. The bow and the arrow on the horse.
No, super. I can relate everything like you're saying. I can see what, yeah, it's interesting. That's like, so far, I can see what you're saying. That's interesting.
Does the eagle soar at your command and build its nest on high? Aquila is the Latin name for eagle and is a constellation a few degrees above the celestial equator. Finally, he says, can you pull in Leviathan with a fish hook? That's the fish Pisces. So the whole thing itself is literally just basically astrology.
Do you think
I've given you
what do you think it's saying though? I get that it's relating to the characters in astrology stuff, but what do you think, like, what is the message overall? Like,
you think it has a purpose, right? What is its purpose?
I feel everything has to. Yeah, no, I almost feel like it has to.
Okay. It's a story that on its surface level can be read to keep people in line. And when you understand astrology and astrotheology and this kind of stuff, you begin to decode and you begin to see that people understand all the movements of the heavens. And that's what it really is. It's a hidden book that hides all the movement of the heavens. How is Jesus able to heal the blind? I asked a bunch of questions earlier, right?
Right.
How is he able to heal the blind? Well, basically, if he's the sun, or if he's Jesus, you remember that he came in and he touched the guy's eyes and the guy could see again?
Yeah.
Well, the sun, when it's dark out and it comes up, it touches your eyes, you could see. Huh. How he walked on water, okay? You ever seen a sunset? You ever see a sun cross across a lake when you're fishing or whatever?
Huh. Yeah, that's funny.
You ever see a sun walk on water? How he turned water into wine? This is a little bit more complicated, but I'll explain it. So do you know why God is a man and Earth is a woman?
Why?
It's because God's sacred fluid, his rain, okay? In Hebrew, it's called shemen. We get the word semen from it. Basically, God's rain falls and impregnates Mother Earth, okay? So you heard April showers bring May flowers in Taurus?
Similar principle, yeah.
Exactly. So you plant in Taurus, then it rains, and then you reap the grapes in September. And then you crush them to make wine. That's how you turn water into wine. It's a process. Okay. Well, he had 12 disciples. Each disciple is one sign of the zodiac. I've already told you Judas was Scorpio. He's the betrayer. Mm. I can go into the rest, but it would take too long. Why was he betrayed with a kiss by Judas? We already went into that. Why was he dead for 3 days? We already went into that. Why is his birthday on December 25th? Why is every ancient god's birthday on December 25th? It's because it's the day the sun finally rises a degree. It's a new birth. You know?
Yeah. I think I personally believe the story of Jesus, but I see how it's related, though. I see how you find very relative information that goes with it. So almost, I mean, just because one exists doesn't mean the other doesn't, almost. I mean, and I do think that, like, what is very relatable to that, and that's very interesting. You pointed out some. You have my mind kind of like wondering now, almost more about the relativity to that. That's, you point out a lot of like consistent like things that are pretty relative, I think, and that's interesting, I think.
Yeah, I think you have a very headstrong. I wasn't going to say that, but you have a very logical way of approaching things, I think.
Dude, you know? I try to.
Right, but basically. Let me throw something at you too. This is a little more conspiratorial, but this is kind of how I believe. This is what I think. So, you know, we're in the age of Aquarius right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know how we determine what sign we're in?
I forget. My fiance told me a million times. I forget that right off. Like, I've been told, but I don't remember right now.
You go to the equator,
mm-hmm.
and then you look to where the sun rises, and it's sign behind it. That's okay. The sign we're in. So we're in Aquarius right now since December 21st, 2012. Okay.
Right.
You remember 2012, the movie, how everybody went apeshit at the end of the Mayan calendar?
Yeah. We thought we were all dying. People thought they're dying. Yeah, so.
Of course, because they're idiots. That was the end of a sign. That wasn't the end of times. That was the end of Pisces. Their calendar just ran out.
Yeah. That's all it was. Yeah. I thought that. Yeah. It's just a calendar's always run out. Like, it's not new.
Right. Exactly. So basically, that's when we started the age of Aquarius, which is what we're in now.
Right.
So the age of Taurus was the Egyptian age, okay, the Egyptian golden age, okay, which is the bull. And if you look at the hieroglyph walls, you'll see tons of bulls with their horns, with the sun between them. I mean, they make it completely obvious what they're doing.
Right.
In the Bible, Moses climbs let me start this a little bit. You go into the age of Aries and the Egyptians start to fade, and then the Jewish people really become the people, you know, that are well known, that are basically, I mean, there were other people for sure, but these are the people of the time. And you get Moses who climbs Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, incidentally, is a combination of two words, sin and AI. AI means mountain, and S-I-N means moon god. So it's the mountain of the moon god. And the reason they called it that is because they would worship, the Jews worship the moon, because the moon would come out from behind there and they would worship it. But I mean, that's for another story. So Moses goes up there and then he comes down. And do you remember what he sees everybody doing?
What, right off? I remember the story, but not that part. What do you, what happened?
They're worshiping a golden calf.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They're worshiping a golden calf. So I'm going to pose two questions to you. What is more likely? That this is a metaphor or this is literal? And by that, let me follow up with this. These wandering nomadic Jews are wandering the desert for years. Moses goes up to get the commandments. And then while he's up there, they magically have all this gold. They find welding equipment in the desert and they built this giant idol. Or it's a metaphor that they were worshiping the sun in Taurus, which is a period they just left. That's why Moses got mad, threw down the tablets. Incidentally, that's where that's where the phrase lawbreaker comes from, because he broke the law. He was the first lawbreaker. And he was mad because they're worshiping the wrong time period. They're the Jews. They have to be with the ram's horn. You have to be worshiping Aries. Fast forward that, the Jews start to fade a little bit. Now you're in the age of Pisces, which is Jesus. That's why you have a fish, the Jesus fish. That's the Vesica Pisces, okay, on the car. For every Christian, the Jesus fish. That's why he feeds the masses with two fish, okay? And now you're in the age of Aquarius. And so if you're looking at it right now, by all accounts, the Christians have to start fading, and a new religion has to come up, because it's what has to happen. The elites do this. They run by world calendars as far as the great year goes. And the great year is the 24,000 year precession of the equinox, which we get a new sign every 2160 years. Okay. We just got into Aquarius. That's why everybody's clamoring. That's why the elites are clamoring for a new world order. They're a new world, one world religion. That's why the Christians are being, you know, terrorized. It's because it has to happen. Do you see what I'm saying?
I can relate to now, especially because I live through now. I definitely can see that. Like, I mean, I to love America, be Republican, or love God is almost like counterculture at this point. It's like, and we're treated like we're censored on the internet, which, I mean, I definitely see exactly what you're saying about right now, for sure. I mean, and I definitely feel like that's happening. Like, definitely a change. I mean, everybody feels something's off. Like everybody does. Like, they're all just like, we're all like in a waiting room right now for the answer. I feel like we're like, okay, like what's going on? Like, and, I mean, I definitely can see the change right now, 100%. And I wouldn't be so you think the Bible, like this is interesting, like, so you think the Bible basically just pretty much predicts like how everything moves and stuff, basically?
I think that it's written a certain way that you could take it literally.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do that, there's things that don't make sense. It contradicts itself at many times in the Bible, and then you have to use something called apologetics to unravel it.
Yeah, and it's just dudes writing books to describe their experience. But no, I think like when you look into like your theory though, like you're saying like if we decode it or whatever terminology, basically it predicts like how things move more or less.
You five passages or six passages already, right?
Right, that's relatable. Yeah, I get like but what does it mean though? More, I understand what it's saying, but from your point of view,
telling you, it's hiding the information.
What information?
It's because though? if the information it's basically the 88 constellations, which include the 12 zodiac signs. It's the 88 constellations, what they do.
Awesome.
It's just their metaphors about them.
No, yeah, you have so much more knowledge. That's why I want to pick into that. I want to kind of see the overall. That's just awesome. Like literally fucking awesome. Like, that's so cool.
I'll give you another one. In Genesis 32:30, it says the following. So Jacob called the place Peniel, P-E-N-I-E-L, saying, it is because I saw God face to face and my life was spared. Well, Peniel becomes Pineal over time.
Right. That's close to it. Yeah. I can see that.
Okay. So they knew about the pineal gland. If you look at the ancient Egyptians, they knew about the Eye of Horus.
They probably knew way more than us. Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, they do. And this was a way to encode this information so that only those, doesn't Jesus say only with those with eyes to see can see?
Yeah. And that's when people take it. Third eye. Yeah, it means the third eye.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only that, but the Bible's full of like double and triple entendres, metaphors. It's John the Baptist in John 3:30 says, he must increase, I must decrease. Okay?
Mm.
Now, imagine for a second the zodiac wheel. Let's put Jesus at the bottom. And I'm going to tell you that if he says he must increase, I must decrease, okay, then Jesus is going to be walking up the wheel. So he's increasing. John is decreasing. How do I know that? Because Jesus's birthday is December 25th. Do you know when St. John's Day is?
I forgot what St. John's is, but I know. Well, what is it again?
It's June 24th. It's exactly 6 months apart.
That's interesting.
So you see how that's encoded in there?
Yeah, like John was one of the most interesting writers in the Bible too. That's cool, man. That's kind of a cool relative thing. Like he was one of God's most faithful writers. Yeah, no, that's I can see he'd have to put hidden messages in. He was so persecuted. Like you'd almost like have to write. Like he couldn't just like it's like the Da Vinci Code similarly. Like he couldn't just say what was like back then you didn't have as much free speech. Like we have limited free speech, but we have more than they did, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's interesting. John would literally have to write like his shit in code. Like he literally would have to. Like, so that's interesting.
They all did.
Yeah,
they all did. I'm convinced. Maybe I'll do this for you. Do you have the capability of projecting something from your computer onto the screen? Like if I gave you a PowerPoint.
I can. Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
I've decoded the following books: the Book of Enoch, the Book of Matthew, the Book of Revelation. And was that it? Matthew, Enoch, Revelation. Yeah. And I've done some other Gnostic texts too. But I've done the Book of Matthew to the point where I could literally show you line for line, just like I did in Job, a full gospel that explains metaphors about the astrology hidden under the words.
Yeah, I would want to know this information because I want to know like how everything works just from that perspective, at least because like I'm so curious. I would love to know how whatever the universe is a small word even, but like whatever the fuck is going on up there, I want to know about that. And I feel like I have such limited knowledge of that. That's interesting. That's cool. I'd definitely check those out, man. Like I'd look into those for sure. And I can link them in the description too if you have them uploaded somewhere. Like people that are listening.
Yeah, I'll send them to you when we're off.
Cool. Yeah,
I'll send them to you. Basically, let me just jump in real quick and tell people that if you want to find me, I'm on Twitter and Facebook, Micah Dank. Follow me, friend me. I have a 6-book publishing deal with a publishing house. 3 of my books are out already. My 4th comes out March 15th. I have my first book was converted into a movie script. I have a publicist. And I'm having a meeting with the movie producer and her. And the guy likes my idea. And basically what I've done is I've written 6 books that demystify this. It's basically Dan Brown, Da Vinci Code type stuff with cryptograms and anagrams. But they're all around astrology. See, I tell the truth in fiction. You have a bunch of elites that are ruled by astrology. That's what the world is ruled by. You don't see it because it's so carefully hidden and I peel back the layers. And what I've done was I've written a bunch of thrillers because it's easier to get this kind of information, which is dangerous, out in fiction, you know? So that's basically what I did. So I also sell signed copies. I also have digital copies. It's on Amazon, amongst Barnes & Noble and a bunch of other places that my publisher has. But if you don't want to give your money to Bezos and you want it to come directly to me, you can do that. But I just figured I'd throw all that out there.
Yeah, more about that. Where would people be able to buy a book from you directly? Like,
yeah, Facebook or tweet or DM me.
Cool. Yeah, you're very easy to Google too. When I was doing my homework on you.
I don't even know how you found me. You just reached out to me one day, and I was like, "Fuck yeah, let's do a show."
Yeah, you have such interesting content. I'd like to have you back on to talk about some other stuff because you have like a lot of interesting content, and I appreciate you taking the time. I feel like there's only so much time we have in a podcast where this is like surface as because of the time. This would be a 7-hour lecture or something.
You have no idea. I've written 6 books about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like we barely touched on it, but it was very good though, and like interesting. I I hope the listeners and viewers like take the same way. I appreciate you taking your time to stomp on, man. And I thank you very much, man.
I really appreciate that.
Brian. Cool. I'm stopping the recording. Hang on, sorry.